Welcome to the fundamentals of digital audio. Welcome back to the Fundamentals of Digital Audio podcast. I'm Jeff Hankerson. If this is your first time listening, I'd like to take a moment to thank you for taking a few minutes out of your day to listen to the Fundamentals of the Digital Audio. And if you're a repeat listener, welcome back. I'm really glad that you're here. Now, just a couple of notes before we get on to today's topics, which is microphones. First one is that this podcast is very close to hitting the 100 listener mark, which I think is really pretty remarkable because I really haven't put any effort at all into promoting it. And so that really is kind of exciting to me. I'm at about 90, 95 listeners right now, and it'd be really great to cross that 100 listener mark. So if you have the opportunity to maybe put a review up on iTunes or Yahoo Podcasts or tell a friend about this podcast who might be interested, I'd really appreciate it. It'd be fun to get up over 100 listeners. A couple of follow-up notes on the last podcast where we talked about USB and FireWire interfaces, in part at least, and I think I may have misled you a bit on the Eterol UA1EX product. It's not really in the same category as the other USB and FireWire interfaces that I mentioned, such as the DigiDesign M-Box or the Mackie Spike or some of those units. This particular unit is really just designed to give you the option to come out of your mixer that doesn't have a USB or FireWire out and add that feature. So if you have a regular mixer without USB or FireWire, you can plug this particular Eterol product in and then have a way to go in through USB on your computer. And it's a nice thing to have because if you go right in through your mixer into your sound card, remember we talked about how you get some noise doing that with the electronics inside the sound card. So it gives you a little cleaner sound. So it's a good option if you have a mixer already, but it's not really in the same class as the other products. I'm not even sure from looking at the website if this has a preamp for a microphone or a phantom power or anything like that. So just remember to use this in the right spot. And another company to check out for USB and FireWire interfaces that I completely forgot about is M-Audio, and they have a number of USB and FireWire interfaces that start around perhaps $100 and up that are pretty compelling. And so if you're looking for a USB or FireWire interface, you want to consider them in your research and your options because they do make some pretty solid products. And now on to today's topic, microphones. Okay, microphones. Now, before we get started talking about this, I always want to remind you that use this podcast as a starting point for your research when you're thinking about purchasing options. I haven't used more than, I believe, just one of the microphones I'm going to mention here, so I can't speak directly from experience. So I really think that you want to take a look at what I mentioned, consider other options, other reviews, before you make your final purchase, because God knows I haven't used all of these. And before we talk about particular microphone models, I want to talk about some of the characteristics of microphones. Now, in the microphone market, there's two primary kinds of microphones. One's called a dynamic microphone, and the other is called a condenser. And some of the differences are that a dynamic microphone is going to be a little more durable. You know, this is what the rock and rollers use on stage, and you know, throw them around, get banged around. These microphones really can survive a drop and a bang, whereas a condenser microphone probably isn't. If you drop your condenser microphone, it's probably toast. And dynamic microphones also have their own built-in power source, so you don't need external power, what's sometimes called phantom power, on your mixer or audio interface. And that is something that you do need for a condenser microphone. You need to have a little bit of power in there for that microphone to work. And what really, remember, what microphones are doing is they're converting sound waves or sound pressure levels into electrical signals, so they do need a little bit of power to do that. And the condenser microphone does need to have what's called phantom power. And most mixers and audio interfaces are going to have those. However, don't take my word for it. You know, check to make before you plug a microphone into your unit, make sure that it's going to work, that the voltage is right, that the unit has phantom power so that it'll work. And another characteristic of microphones I want to talk about briefly here is directional or cardioid versus omnidirectional microphones. Now, an omnidirectional microphone, you remember, is going to pick up all the sound around it. And a good example of this is I work at a university, and we're looking to do some classroom capture where we have students and professors and students interacting with other students. And in order to get all that sound captured, you want to have a microphone that can open up to the entire room and try to capture as much of the sound as possible. Whereas a directional or cardioid microphone is going to just really mostly pick up the sound that's right directly in front of it. And that's better for doing something like a podcast where you're sitting down and just chatting in front of the microphone, kind of like I'm doing right now, or for a studio application. So you want to get the right kind. If you're doing an interview with multiple people, for example, cardioid might be a little better bet so that you can pick up the microphone from both people and not have them have to both be within 6 inches of the microphone. So keep that in mind as well. So let's get on to talk about a couple of the models of microphones that might be worth taking a look at investing in. Now, there's a great website called transon.org that's put on by independent public radio producers where there's a lot of great audio tips. It's really worth checking out the site, and I want to point out one article in particular called The Microphone Shootout that I'll put the link in the show notes. And I really, if you're in the market for a microphone, I really think you should go look at this page because they have blind samples of 18 different microphones. And they have mics that are under $100. They have mics that are in the $400, $500, $600 range, and they have mics that are $1,000, $2,000 and more, all on this page. And you can listen to the differences blindly, and then look at the key afterwards. The key is down at the bottom of the page, and see what you think of the different microphones and which one sounds best to you. And I spent some time doing this, and what I found curious is that I found all the microphones to sound a little bit different, but it was really hard for me to judge which one was best, and it's really a matter of opinion. In fact, they found that some of the budget microphones surprisingly did really well in their blind tests, and some people liked the sound of the lower priced microphones better than the higher priced ones. So that's something to think about, and I'm going to mention now a few of the models on this page. First off, in kind of the budget category, we have the Shure SM57 and Shure SM58. They cost $90 and $100 respectively, and these are durable, tried and true dynamic microphones that have been used with you know, in the rock industry for years and years, and you really can't go wrong with these. In fact, the Shure SM57, they noted on the page, did really well in these tests. It's a $90 microphone, and in the tests, a lot of people chose this one as their favorite. So you can't really go wrong this way. So if you're in the market for a good microphone under $100, it's a good place to start looking. A couple of other options that would be in that same price range is the Studio Projects B1. It's an $80 microphone, a condenser microphone. They did note that this is a little heavy on the bass, so if you have a big bassy booming voice, it might not be the best option for you, but if you want to augment the bass in your voice, it might be a great option. And over at Paul Figiani's Podcast Rigs website, that's podcastrigs.com. And just a quick side note, Paul has done a great job of putting together some different packages for that podcasters might be interested in to, you know, if they're looking to get into podcasting and don't know what equipment to buy. He's got some great recommendations over there, so check it out. He's not earning any commissions on this. It's just really, he's doing it out of his own goodwill. So check out that site. And one of the less expensive microphones that he mentions over there is the Kell HM100 microphone, and this could be a pretty good option as well. I trust Paul's suggestions for product recommendations because he's one of these folks that really knows what he's talking about, so that'd be another good option to look at. If you were interested in spending a little bit of extra money and getting a microphone that really sounded a cut above, there's been a microphone out that's really been kind of all the rage among the podcasters who really care about pristine sound, and that's microphones from Bob Heil. And he has the Heil PR30 and the PR40. For example, Leo Laporte's using one of these PR40s for his podcasting, and it does sound really good. Costs about, let's see, the PR30 runs $289 and the PR40 $325. So they're a little more expensive, not totally unreasonable if you want to get a little extra, you know, if you want a little nicer sound for your voice, that might be a way to go if it's worth the extra cash for you. And the last one I'm going to mention is one that I've used for situations where I work. I happen to work at a university. We record some of our guest speakers sometimes, and for that, we usually need a wireless lavalier microphone. And I've had some experience with the Sennheiser EW122G. It runs about $500, $450, $500, and it really sounds great. Really very happy with the way these turn out, especially when I can get a speaker who doesn't bump the microphone too much. It's a little bit of a challenge. I'm still working on a way to make that easier for folks, because people that aren't used to work, you know, being recorded and wearing a microphone tend to bump it a lot, and it can kind of ruin the recording a little bit. But nevertheless, I digress there a little bit. This mic has great sound. I really like the way it sounds, and as far as I've been hearing, this is probably the best lavalier microphone on the market for under $1,000. So if you need that wireless microphone, this might be a good option to look at. I do want to mention one thing, though, about the Sennheiser lavalier mic. The way that this thing is configured out of the gate, the levels are just way too hot. They're way too loud. And there's a great little tutorial online, a little 4 or 5 minute video that shows you how to set this thing up properly. And this is from the folks over at the DVE store, Feeder. And basically they are selling these products, but also do some video tutorials on some of them to let you know how to actually operate them. And so they show you how to set up the Sennheiser wireless microphone properly so that your sound levels are right. And once I did this, I started getting great sound out of this mic that I'm really happy with. So I think that if you are interested in that Sennheiser one, I'll point you over to this video. And now let's go over and talk about microphone technique a little bit. Okay, so now you have your microphone, you have your mixer or USB Fire or FireWire interface, and you've got it all plugged into your computer. And the question is, what to do next? Well, first thing you want to do is you want to set your input levels. And you do this in usually one of two spots. You might do it in your system control panel or system preferences on the Mac. Where you can set the input level and choose the microphone or choose the audio interface or the sound card as your sound input source. Or you might actually do it in the application you're using for recording as well. I'm using GarageBand right now, and I actually do need to set the input and input levels right inside of GarageBand. Now, the way I do it is I tend to put my levels up about 80% of the way, and I get fairly close to the microphone and speak in a relatively soft voice. If you were to be, for example, singing, you might need to have your levels down farther and maybe back off the microphone a little bit. In fact, I had an email from a listener on just this point. He had bought the Blue Snowball microphone, which we talked about, you know, back a few months ago, and he was really having trouble with the levels being too loud, and it didn't seem to be that he could really get them down far enough. And so this really segues nicely to, you know, one particular discussion of a microphone technique. And that is, there's a couple of different ways to control this. You know, besides setting the input level, you can control with microphone technique the loudness levels by backing off when you get to a loud part. For example, in the beginning of the podcast, I say, "Welcome back to the fundamentals of digital audio." And, you know, that "welcome back" part, I really say kind of loud. And so what I have to do when I'm doing that is I actually turn my head in the other direction. You know, usually I have the microphone just above my mouth a little bit, and I'm about 6 inches away over to the left side of the microphone. And that's kind of the sweet spot for this microphone, as far as I can tell. And microphones do have a sweet spot, and you have to spend some time figuring out where to position yourself relative to the microphone to get the best sound. And for this particular microphone, this works well for me. But if I were singing, I would probably have to move back farther because you're projecting out a lot more. You know, I'm speaking in a relatively soft voice right now. So that's one thing you want to keep in mind. Or even if there's a part where you're getting excited and speaking more loudly, you know, you want to back off or turn your head in the other direction a little bit, or perhaps even a lot, depending on how, you know, loud you get. And this is really kind of the low-tech solution. There are kind of higher-tech solutions by using limiters and compressors and software in your software or with hardware items going into your audio interface or mixer. However, today I want to just stick to the low-tech solution, which is really just backing off a little bit when you get loud or turning in the other direction. I also want to mention that when you are up close to the microphone, you're going to get a more bassy sound. So right now I'm really very close to the microphone, and I'm going to back up a little bit. I'm going to speak a little louder, but I'm backing off now, and I'm about 2 feet away from the microphone, and I'm projecting a little more, but I don't think you're going to be hearing as much bass as when I'm up close like I am right now. And so that's one thing. It's a matter of preference, really. It's not really a right way or a wrong way. It's just, which sound do you like? Another thing to remember is to avoid the plosives. And plosives are the popping P's. And they really do have a tendency to spike the levels way up in a short split hair of a second. And so the way I'm controlling plosives and popping P's is I'm actually, like I said, I'm over just slightly to the right, to the left of the microphone. And if I went right in front of the microphone like I am now, I'm now speaking right in front of, and I started popping P's like this, you're going to really hear a lot of that popping sound, and it really isn't very nice to listen to. So I control this by moving off to the side just slightly. Another way to do it, of course, is to get a pop screen. And you can find one of those for about $25, or you can even look around the web and find a, you know, the do-it-yourself instructions, and you could probably make one for $5 or less. And a pop screen will let you position yourself a little more directly in front of the microphone instead of off to the side. So that's another way you can control plosives. And it's important to remember to do this, because if you're going to listen to someone's podcast for 20, 30 minutes or more, and they are popping their P's throughout the whole time, it isn't very listenable. It's not nice to listen to. So you want to make sure that you're controlling that. Well, that's it for this edition of the Fundamentals of Digital Audio. You can reach me by email at digiaudio.podcast@gmail.com, and I'd love to have your questions, your feedback. If there's a particular topic you'd like me to try to cover, or if you have a question you'd really like me to try to answer, go ahead and shoot me an email. I'd love to hear from you. And next time, I think we're going to have a podcast about the new GarageBand 3. I think we'll have a little review. I thought it'd be fun to do that. So stay tuned for a review of GarageBand 3 on the Fundamentals of Digital Audio. I'm Jeff Hankerson, and I hope to catch you soon for a new episode of the Fundamentals of Digital Audio. Have a great day. Thank you.